Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. This is about Ukraine's drone strikes deep inside Russia today. It's the glorious 1st of June from their perspective. The United Kingdom people used to commemorate an 18th century sea battle against the French, fought upon this day, and they always call that battle the glorious 1st of June, not the nearest point of land to which it was fought. So the Ukrainians say that they have hit over 40 Russian nuclear bombers at various different air bases. Now, they don't say they've destroyed them, they say they've hit them. So some of them will have been just damaged. My very unscientific approach to this is if they say they've inflicted casualties, I divide that by two. If they say they've sustained a certain number of casualties, I multiply it by two. Because any statements have got to be taken with a fistful of salt. I know they don't lie as badly as the Russians, but what they claim versus what's confirmed, there's a big gap. You expect there to be some gap because sometimes they claim things, and even if they're telling the truth, sometimes you can't confirm it. But you have to expect in wartime they're going to overstate the losses they inflict and understand those they suffer themselves. But there's no doubt they've destroyed at least a few. And these are Russian nuclear bombers. Now, even if it's the cheaper one, the Tu-160 Blackjack, that costs at least $250 million, at least $250 million. It could be the Tu-160 M2, which is the upgraded version, and they cost about $500 million. I mean, if they've destroyed even one of the cheaper kind, that's a big loss, because the ordinary Russian fighter jets, they start from $20 billion, which is like much cheaper than the American versions, the US versions or British versions or whatever. They're about $100 million. And the Russian ones are nothing like as good. I mean, they're not five times worse. I don't know much about aviation. Surely that's evident from what I'm saying. But it's very impressive that they've done this. So the Ukrainian drones are not far enough, a long enough range to reach that far. You know, because Siberia, that's east of the Urals. So that's how many kilometers from the Ukrainian border? You know, that's over 1,000 kilometers. But some of these are much further, if further east, in like Irkutsk, or over 3,000 kilometers. So it appears that they somehow smuggled some of the drone components inside Russia. The SBU, that's Ukraine's intelligence service, has their agents, or possibly their officers, deep inside Russia, firing them from innocuous vehicles. They said this has been 18 months and the planning was meticulous. The drones were secreted inside these mobile wooden cabins and the roofs opened. These were transported on trucks. They're fired at the right time near air bases. And it took place in five different regions. Russia's confirmed these attacks took place. So that was a really impressive coup of organization and indeed execution. So Russia will not be happy about that. And this is obviously bitterly humiliating for Russia. It's a police state, a surveillance state. People really have no rights of free expression, of fair trial, anything like that, to keep you safe, for your own security. No, it's for the security of the regime against their own people. But clearly, this deal is not worth it, because they've taken away your rights. All this deprivation of liberty hasn't made them more secure. It's made them insecure, and they can't defend their national territory. Why are you trying to take more? So Belaya in Irkutsk Oblast, that's near the Russian Far East, really, near Lake Baikal, the deepest lake in the world. Alenia in Murmansk Oblast in the very north, you know, on the White Sea. Diaghilevo in Ryazan Oblast, that's not that far from Ukraine, and Ivanova, and so on. So the Ukrainians, they claim that they've hit both those Tupolev type of bombers, including the more modern ones, and an A-50 warplane. So very tricky to organize. I'm surprised the SBU told us so much about it, giving away their tradecraft. Maybe they're lying because they use some other means and they want to confuse the Russians so the Russians can't prevent them doing this again. Flow fired out of Kamaz trucks. You can see Kamaz trucks anywhere in Russia, the most common type of like delivery truck. So the SBU says they've cost at least the Russian Air Force at least $2 billion in destruction and damage. I would suspect it's rather less than that, but it's certainly going to be several hundreds of millions of dollars. So, Ukraine is suffering too. 472 drones and 7 ballistic cruise missiles fired against them last night. That's what they say. But that they're shooting down the great majority of these, 485 of them, and so on. So goodness. So although a lot of Russian drones are getting through, they're not inflicting that much damage. They might hit one or two apartment blocks, something like that. Even sometimes, yes, they fall, but they've been shot down. They fall kind of innocuously in a park, in a field, some distance from the city. And so they're not like taking out whole streets or that many strategically important buildings. The Russians aren't even trying with the electricity grid. That is the summer, so it wouldn't make that much difference. You don't need that much heating or that much lighting. They'll wait to the winter and have another go at that. But they've failed 3 winters in a row. If I were them, I'd just give up. That strategy is just not working. And plus, Ukraine is increasingly connected to the European electricity grid. They're getting better at repair and things like that. But all these Ukrainians, when they're firing things at these Moscow airports, buzzing the Moscow airports, and okay, it's led that Turkish Airlines is not gonna fly some of those flights. They've not stopped completely because these are very lucrative routes for them. But there are so many delays, so many cancellations. There's a knock on the rest of the timetable, and I'm surprised that no plane has been struck. It's just a matter of time. If by accident or even by design, a Ukrainian plane destroys a civilian passenger plane, if that were to happen at all, please God, it'll be empty and nobody would be killed. But these things cost hundreds of millions of dollars. But if it strikes one on the air or one taxiing on the runway, that could be 300 people killed, and that would not look good for Ukraine, especially the people from neutral countries. I don't want Russian civilians to get killed either. But the one thing is that might spook airlines from other countries like China, India, Turkey, say, we're not risking it. We're not having our civilians killed. We're not having our, air crew killed from passenger planes. What will the insurers say? Because remember, insurers say they're not going to pay out, but you're too dangerous. Insurance doesn't cover war. Now, Russia's saying this is not a war, it's a special military operation. It's a crime to call it a war. Even Putin called it a war, but obviously his laws are for other people to obey, not himself, just like his laws against stealing and everything like that. So, goodness, all those hundreds of drones they've flown near Russian airports, very heavily defended, they almost all get shot down. If you just use those against military targets, maybe you'd be able to break up these Russian formations massing near Sumy. The attack on Sumy might not take place. Certainly some aircraft were on fire from these attacks on the air bases. So that's actually increased world security. World peace is a step closer because they always like nuclear saber rattling. There are all these blood-curdling warnings that they're going to reduce Western cities to radioactive ash. And after the United States, the great Satan from Putin's perspective is the United Kingdom, because it's one of the staunchest allies of Ukraine. And if you could scare them away, would others be scared away? And there's a segment of the British public say, why are we sticking our neck out for Ukraine? Ukraine's done nothing for us. Else is quite far away. And all right, for Lithuania or Poland, it might be an existential matter, because we know that Putin will not stop there. If he manages to destroy Ukraine, you're next in his hit list. But the United Kingdom could say, okay, we're bailing out, and Putin might let the UK go. And it's quite far away, and it's in part of Russian territory. So there is an argument to say, just wash your hands of Ukraine. Could he split the transatlantic alliance and persuade the British and the Americans to loathe each other, to not cooperate on Ukraine? And obviously, there's some leftards in the United Kingdom who'd agree with that. There's some neo-Nazis in the UK would agree with that. But fortunately, most people of moderate opinion would disagree with that. So I've got to say bravo to the Ukrainians. And some Russian Air Force personnel would be killed in this. And I mourn them. I hope it doesn't sound glib or insincere, because it is heartfelt. They're human beings too. Each one of them was somebody's baby. Each man or woman had people who love them. And it's a pity. And they are victims of Putin's war. And there are good people who serve bad causes. They get hoodwinked by propaganda. They don't even think about it. There's a lot of my side bias. There's this motivated reasoning and so on. If you were Russian, if you were subjected to all this endless propaganda, you might fall for it too. So it takes a certain wisdom, intelligence, and moral courage to say, everyone around here believes this, but they're wrong. And my community could be wrong. My community actually is wrong here where I live. On a number of issues, very badly wrong. So the majority is not always wrong, and it's not always right. So don't start out from the assumption the majority must be right or the majority must be wrong. Think for yourself, question everything. Exactly the kind of thing that Putin wants to prevent, that the wokers want to prevent, that Trump wants to prevent. So say no to closed systems of thought. And that's what got us into this mess, in this terrible Ukraine. So Slava Ukraine, Slava Heroim. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecannon79@gmail.com. Goodbye.